Hello there. Welcome to the Essentials. I'm James. I'm the pastor of the Glenwood Moravian Community Church here in Madison, Wisconsin. And here on this podcast, we like to explore our faith, ask questions, and wrestle with doubts at times, and hopefully celebrate the good news and the hope that we see out in the world. For today's episode, I have our scripture lesson and our message from Sunday, May 11th. It was Mother's Day. Our gospel lesson came from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 22 through 30. And we were reading from the Message translation. This is toward the end of Jesus' description of himself as the Good Shepherd. They were celebrating Hanukkah just then in Jerusalem. It was winter. Jesus was strolling in the temple across Solomon's porch. The Jews circling him said, "How long are you going to keep us guessing? If you're the Messiah, tell us straight out." Jesus answered, "I told you, but you don't believe. Everything I have done has been authorized by my Father. Actions that speak louder than words. You don't believe because you're not my sheep. My sheep recognize my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them real and eternal life. They are protected from the destroyer for good. No one can steal them from out of my hand. The Father who put them under my care is so much greater than the destroyer and the thief. No one could ever get them away from him. I and the Father are one heart and mind." Here ends our reading. So I'd like to begin by offering just the very next verse that comes after our scripture lesson finished there from John's Gospel. When we hear the imagery of Jesus being the Good Shepherd, how we're known and protected because we know his voice, I think we enjoy resting with the comfort that that provides. Just think of how much we cherish hearing Psalm 23. So I can understand why our lectionary writers stopped the lesson where they did, because what comes next could easily take away that feel-good feeling. John's Gospel tells us that the response from this audience Jesus is talking to, as they hear his promise of being the Good Shepherd, they pick up stones and they prepare to kill him. They don't just disagree with Jesus, they're so offended that they think he deserves to die for what he has just said. To be seen and embraced by Jesus is something we celebrate, something we sing about every time we worship. We find joy and belonging to his flock. But those who think they have the authority, those who think they know God best, they see others being brought into the fold, and they cannot get rid of Jesus fast enough. But besides being aware of how Jesus' words are received in this lesson, it's also important to know where this conversation is taking place. And I'm not talking about what city they're in. I'm not talking about at what point in Jesus' ministry this takes place, but I'm talking about where they are literally standing. Because the backdrop of this conversation implies a great deal, provides a scene for the way things have always been, the way things they're comfortable with. That is going to clash with this new path that Jesus is producing and offering. So we see that Jesus is strolling through the temple, and he's crossing Solomon's porch, or Solomon's colonnade, if you like the fancier word that some translations use. He's also there during Hanukkah, which was the festival of dedication, where they commemorate the rededication of the second temple. And the temple was the center of their spiritual life. It was the only place where some religious rites could be performed. It was known as the very dwelling place of God. And just outside of this essential place for their faith, was Solomon's porch. Solomon, who built the first temple, Solomon, who kind of represents a golden age for Israel. He was known for his wisdom. Pieces of wisdom literature in the Bible are attributed to him. Solomon was king during a time of tremendous prosperity. He's viewed as one of their most important leaders, which makes him worthy to have a porch attached to the center of their faith. And this was no ordinary porch. This wasn't grandma's porch in her backyard. This stretched out over 800 feet. It had 162 columns. It was a massive structure. And what it would have served as tangible proof of God blessing their people. This is where their faith has enhanced their lives in awe-inspiring ways. Now, Solomon's porch was a public gathering place, a place to teach, to discuss, to have debate. And since it was dedicated to Solomon, the dialogue that took place there was meant to be full of wisdom, to be respected. And those who thought they were the wise ones find Jesus in this place that holds such value for their faith, and they see it as an opportunity to expose his ministry and to expose any claims that he's the Messiah. And those who are questioning Jesus, they have home court advantage here. They have the receipts. They are standing in the place that shows what following the law of Moses, what following the right leaders can get you, even though Solomon wasn't perfect as the years went on. They're in the very place that validates their customs and their beliefs. And they ask Jesus if he's the Messiah. Are you this promised figure? Are you the one we've been waiting for? Would you dare to suggest that you're any better than Solomon? I mean, look what he did. Look at all you have to live up to. And we hear that you spend your time eating with sinners, hanging out with people on the margins, embracing the lowest of the low. So you're going to need to give us something else. This isn't the way things are supposed to go. Is there anything you could possibly say to us so that we'd loosen our grip on our ways and this magnificent temple to follow your way? By posing this question here at Solomon's porch, those opposed to Jesus might not know it, but they are creating a bit of a bridge. A bridge from this temple-based faith to a faith that will go and follow Jesus. They're sparking a transition from finding God just in the temple and relying on the temple space for everything for their faith, and going to this earth-shattering possibility that God could be found and embraced in the life and ministry of Jesus out in the world. And when they've been waiting for another king, someone like David or Solomon, a figure of wealth and splendor, Jesus, in his humble living, boldly asserts that he is that Messiah. And it's here, right next to their temple, where their long-established expectations are met with a surprising reality. God is in the world as this shepherd who is compassionate, who cares for the lost sheep, who sits with and protects the very people who have been abandoned. An abundant and eternal life isn't about making sacrifices in the temple. It's about caring for the world just the way Jesus does. That is God's will and God's vision, to serve and to bring others into the flock. You can sort of understand why, as Jesus doesn't just not back down, he doubles down on being the person in line with God's plan. You can understand how those hearing him would want to grab stones to get rid of him. The faith that they practiced was the only thing they knew. It had the history. They knew the laws. It was something that made sense to them. They can enforce it and measure it. It has a physical place they can go to and visit. They could answer every question. They could keep track of who was in and who was out. And what Jesus offers challenges the identity they find in the temple and at Solomon's porch. If his way is God's way, then they have to care for the people they've deemed unworthy. They have to reach out to those who are suffering, and they have to go from keeping track of laws to searching for lost sheep. They have to entertain the idea that God isn't just present at the altar, but God is present when an outsider is offered a helping hand. So, this conversation here at Solomon's porch takes the faith that's so comfortable and familiar to them, and it asks them to believe that God is doing something new. And I wonder about our time, in our time. How often does the church still reach for the nearest stone? How often does the church look for stones when asked to expand their understanding of who deserves God's love? Or when we're asked to protect and stand up for someone whose experience is a little different than our own? How often do we reach for the nearest stone when ministry would sound a lot like the selfless voice of Jesus? But it won't make any money, and it won't bring in new members. When God is calling us, pushing us to do something new, something that welcomes more people or cares for part of the flock that's been left behind, how defensive do we get at the thought of changing what we do, even when we know in our heart it's exactly the work that Jesus would be doing? Well, after a little time passes, in the days of the early church, Peter came back and would preach here at Solomon's porch. This place where Jesus' vision was rejected so fiercely became the central meeting place for early believers. And maybe it's the places where the church today is reluctant to change. That could be the very reason the church thrives in the future. For those who've been kicked out of church for who they are, for those who don't feel welcome because they ask the wrong questions or they don't believe enough, for those who don't feel supported or cared for, maybe we can be the place where they feel known and heard. And doing that is a lot harder than sticking with what we know and doing what we've always done. And maybe extending love to people who've been left on the outside will cause other Christians to pick up their stones and start aiming at us. But if we take that risk to include someone, then we are in good company with our shepherd who took the same risk for us. Amen. Well, I appreciate you stopping by for another episode. If you'd like to learn more about the church that I serve, you can check out Glenwood Moravian online. You can find our website. You can follow us on Facebook. You can join us for worship on YouTube as well. And if you want to know more about Moravians in general, head to moravian.org. So take care, be well. I will catch you next time.